Funny thing, most of the time we don't even know. We just think. We just do. We have been taught, we have been trained, we, over the years, develop different ways that information has come into our lives, and it can be a little bit tricky when it comes to trying to explain the different ways that we think about things. And as this workshop progresses through, hopefully toward the end, it will start connecting and you'll start going, oh, yeah, okay, I see that, I get that. We're going to have a lot of information, since that's kind of where we're at, ways we think deeper, though, than information. We're going to go through a lot of different aspects of the learning process. People teach the Bible for all kinds of reasons, all kinds of ways. Some is to learn more about the Bible. Some is to be able to maybe explain away the Bible, or they have to do it because mommy and daddy are happy when I do it, or you know, all kinds of reasons. Some want to study to have more mental capacity of what is in the Bible. Some want to study to get closer to the Lord, to experience that relationship. There's not necessarily, some of those aren't wrong, but I think that it's important for us to understand that God gave us his word for us to be able to listen to him, to hear from him. I want to talk about learning that produces change in a child. Most of us have, well, we do. We all have a mindset, a way of belief, a way of thinking. It's been created in us for the most part without us even realizing it. That's why it's so important, so key, children, children ministry, ministering to children, because that's when that's all happening. That's why we don't remember it. We know we do certain things, and sometimes we'll think about how that relates to something I was experienced or learned when I was younger. But the information that's going into the child's mind, I just jump ahead. That's why God is so angry at children being mistreated. Now, I don't mean they don't get their way or those, but you know what I mean. Those that are unable to protect themselves. But also he knows that first learned often is last forgotten. He knows that the early days are what's developing that person. Praise God that I'm have escaped that, but not totally, because things were going into my little mind when I was young. But Jesus finally came in and he makes everything. You know, he sets us free. He's a good God. We sung about that. He's a good, good God. But we have a mindset. And oftentimes we are, as I said a minute ago, are not aware of it. That's why we're told in Romans 12, 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need our minds constantly transformed. There's not a time in life where you will not need that. I get amazed at some of the ways I think, and the word of God just kind of shines on it, and I go, wow, I didn't realize I was thinking that way. It wasn't God's way. So I'm going to take you quickly through five levels of learning. And what I mean by this is these are levels that take place. We just use the term level just to explain it, to keep it orderly. It goes from less to more. It's not for creating some kind of Bible study thing as you're preparing. It's have the understanding that this is going on. So whenever you teach or you are listening to someone teaching, you will be in this process. There's five different steps in this level of learning. Got them down there under number two, the rote level, the recognition level, the restatement level, the relation level, and the realization level. So these five things that we're going to talk about real briefly will transpire somehow, some way. Now, they may not go in that order. You may have an introduction, a rote level of learning. That's the ability to repeat something without thought of meaning. So that's the first one. But then you could jump all the way to maybe number three, which is restatement or back to, so you're going to go back and forth. So don't think in your mind this is some kind of neat laid out thing. But this is important for us to know. So the rote level of learning, that's when we are, let's say as a teacher, we are wanting the child to memorize a verse. We want them to put it to memory. So let's just say it's one verse, which there are many wonderful, great one-versers, John 3:16. And so they have memorized that. And we love listening to it when it's memorized from a little child. But they may know nothing about what it means. We've just compiled and put it into their little mind, which is a good thing. And by the way, none of these levels necessarily are less important. I'd say when we get to the fifth level, there's a reason for that importance. But they all play a part of what we're doing when we're teaching. But it's so important for us to understand this because of relating it to other things. So I want to try to teach you to say something to give you an idea. And I'm not really good with language, but this is definitely going to be not my language. Hananiman sarang ishida. Okay, so what I want you to do is, I'm going to keep saying that. I just want you to repeat it. And if I don't see those mouths moving, then I'm going to pick someone to stand up and repeat it. So we can do it as a group or we can do it singly. All right? So just listen to what I'm saying and then work through it. And then start saying it. Stay, just say a part of it. Say, you know, until you can get all of it. Hananiman sarang ishida. Whoa. That's very good. I usually am kind of going, seriously? Can you do better than that? Okay, let's do it together. On three. One, two, three. Hananiman sarang ishida. The last part's ishida. Ishida. Ishida? I could really throw you off. It's a similar meaning, but it's a little bit different. Imnida. No, never mind. Ishida, we won't go there. Hananimin. Sarang. Ishida. Okay, for sake of time, wonderful. You all get an A. All right, we'll move on with that. But that you have just been taught on the rote level of learning. After the conference is over with, or at lunchtime, you can go up to somebody and go, Hananiman sarang ishida. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, so, okay, you've been taught. You have been taught. It is in your mind, kind of. And that's the rote level. Important to know the rote level. Important to know that you can repeat something, but you don't know the meaning of it. So, let's go ahead and move up to the recognition level. And well, before we go there, I want to backtrack a little bit to the rote level. Because what we're wanting to accomplish when we are teaching is to cause the children not to be hearers only, but doers of God's word. That's the key, to be a doer of God's word. So that we don't hear something and go away and, you know, from the mirror, so to speak, and we forget about it. We want the children not only to hear, but to do. And so in this process, this first level, the rote level, is only a hearer level. They've only heard. They haven't had the opportunity to do. They're learning. It's part of the process of learning.
What does it mean?
I'm not telling you. That's this next level. And I think, yeah, this is the level. Now, this level is where we have the ability to recognize a biblical idea, a biblical truth. I'll give you an illustration, a very current one. If somebody comes around on a Saturday morning to your house, maybe two people in white shirts and ties, and they have bicycles out front, and they come to your door, and they want to tell you about their particular idea of their gospel. And you're listening to them, but you don't really know much about their group. Okay? So you're listening, and you really not study their group, but you know your group, meaning you know Jesus Christ, you know what he has taught, and so forth. So now they start sharing some things with you, and you go, you know, I can't really explain that away, but that's wrong. That's just simply wrong. That's not what my Lord is and says and does. That's the recognition level. You don't really have any ability to explain any more than that's not right. So I'm going to help you be able to recognize Hana Niman Saram Ishida. And I'm going to let you know you're going to rise to this level of learning that it's Korean. And that it says God is love. But it's spoken in a manner that it's a precious God is love. So you've learned that. If you hear that again somewhere, you could recognize, but that's all you have. You really can't go beyond that. So it's important for us to understand the second level. It's focusing on fact versus focusing on the meaning of it. So that level is still just a hearer level. There's no doing in that. So the first two levels, hearers only. Let's go to the restatement level. This is the ability to restate an idea of biblical truth because you've got it pretty much understood. It's a time when you understand the full of it so that you can put it into your own words. Now, this isn't necessarily as easy of teaching and training to a child, but it's important that they come to be able to restate it. Now, why is this important information on this level, the restatement level? Here's how it all plays out. These first three levels, rote, recognition, restatement, are the typical levels that we teach on in Sunday school. We teach about, we'll have them memorize, we'll say a few things that they can recognize, and then we teach them enough that they can restate it, okay? The restatement level, as well as the other two levels, are hearer-only levels. Here's where the problem goes. Because that's what we typically teach on, because that's what we are familiar with teaching on, and we're going to talk about why that's the case, what we're doing is believing when a child is able to restate something, that they believe it, they've taken it, they're walking with it, and so forth. Doesn't mean they are. It only means that they know how to restate it. That's all it means. I've had over the years many people come and tell me, this explains a lot when they have heard this information. It explains a lot about my child or my friend's child or whatever the case may be. They went to a Christian school. They went to a wonderful church. The parents were lovers of the Lord, and yet they walked away. And those parents say that they would talk the talk, from the mind, but they lacked the walking of the walk. Because our whole structure of education is based on of the mind, talking the talk, repeating what, I'm getting ahead of myself, we'll get into that. But it's so important for us to understand this because it gives us answers for some of the things that we see before our very eyes. If we are only teaching on these first three levels, we are only teaching to the mind. And again, don't make that seem negative. You got to teach to the mind. You can't teach to the hand. You teach to the mind. It's a normal thing. But if we stop at the restatement level of the information and how we are addressing the children, then we have ourselves in a pickle. And it becomes a problem. So, again, restatement is hearer only. I said this earlier, but one of the things that helps us get out of this whole problem of mindset is realizing that Jesus Christ is Christianity. You pull Jesus Christ out of this word Christianity, there's nothing. It's not there. It's vacant. So if that's the case, if Christianity is totally based upon Jesus Christ, then everything that we're doing needs to be based on Jesus Christ. We need to ask the why questions if it's not. Why isn't it based this way? So it's important for us, because what we do oftentimes in church and teaching children is we teach them how to be religious. And then we wonder why certain things happen as they get older. Religion is doing the right thing at the right time, having the pressure to make sure you do it this way. Do you know that we're sinners? Do the children, this is a home question, have the freedom to be sinners? Or do we want them to be perfect, be religiously perfect? We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it's so important for our children as well as us to realize that God has given us forgiveness of sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a verse that you could meditate on day after day after day and still get more from the Lord. We have forgiveness of sin. Christianity, Jesus Christ, it's who he is, knowing him personally. So let's move on to, I'm trying to, it's tough to go through this information so quickly, but I'll say this, there was a survey back a ways of people that claimed to be Christians, kids that claimed to be Christians, and 63% did not believe that Jesus was the one true God. 58% believed all faiths were equally valid. 51% didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. 65% didn't believe Satan was real. 68% don't believe the Holy Spirit is real. And the list went on. And these were people that claimed to be Christians. So what happened? We have a partial understanding now. They could restate it. They did restate it. But they didn't believe it. The word believe is a very tricky word too. All right, let's go to the fourth level of learning, and this is the relation level of learning, the ability to understand a biblical truth and then how it relates to our life, and then how we should respond. Just the how we should respond. It's not the responding part of it. So at this place, what happens is if we're teaching a child or anyone for that matter, about salvation and what it means and what is involved with receiving the Lord, believing in the Lord, following the Lord, and so forth. And all of a sudden, a child may go, oh man, that means my dad's not saved. This is where the word that was taught from the rote, from the memorization, all the way through the recognition to the restatement became open to understanding of how it applies to life. So in this level of relation, they see how the scripture relates to life. It could be something on teaching on forgiveness of sin. And a student says, oh man, that means I could go home and forgive my sister. You know, doesn't tell us that they went home to forgive the sister. But it does tell us that they understood the truth and how it applied to their life. Now, we are really happy when we get to this fourth level as a teacher. We are like totally like, man, I'm the best teacher. I mean, look at, they understand how it relates to their life. How sweet that is. But there's still a problem. You see, at this fourth level of learning, they're still only hearers. And we confuse the fact of knowledge, understanding what the right thing to do is, with doing it. Not so. You can know the right thing and not do it. Amen? Yeah. So we're still hearers on this fourth level. And this is abundant teaching, if you would, if you get to the fourth level. You're really feeling good that they're understanding what you're saying. But it's the fifth level. It's bringing them to this fifth level of learning. And the fifth level is a realization level. And this is the ability to understand a biblical truth and then how it relates to our life. And then respond to that truth. That means do it. That means act it out. Do whatever it takes to accomplish it. It's one thing to understand the appropriate response and what it is to God's word, but it's quite a different thing to make that response. So this level, this fifth level, is the will level. It's the willingness to respond. More than the willingness to respond, it's then the responding, but it takes the willingness to get it, the responding moving. We teach the children in ways they don't have to be willing. We're okay if they parrot out a verse. And we say, yay, isn't that wonderful? I mean, there's nothing sweeter. I remember the first time I heard a first grader come out of class stating, because we had worked on it, John 3:16. Could have died and gone to heaven. That was just the sweetest thing. Until I started growing and realizing, now I know what I didn't know then. And it was like, oh, man, that was only the beginning of the process. We want to bring the children to the place of responding to God. If they don't respond to God, there's nothing happening. It's all mental exercise. That's why we can see, you know, it's terrible to even have to think on things like this, but when pastors fall, well, they may have a wonderful ability to communicate, but were they responding? And I'm not putting a critical thing on, they may have been responding too, but there may have come a time when they let their guard down or whatever the case may be. Respond, respond, respond. Needs to be in the back of our mind. And let me give you an illustration. If a gospel message is being presented in the classroom or on a bus or in a park or wherever it may be, and you bring it to the conclusion of the need to respond, but then all of a sudden, this works better for the classroom, all of a sudden the parents are there, service is over with, and the kids are, they've been praying, there's been hands that have been raised, and the first parent comes, knocks on the door like, I want to get my kid and get out of here. I'm going to go eat, you know. What I tell the teachers that have been under my leadership is have the helper go outside the door and stand against the door and say, you can't come in yet. Because that's the moment a child could go, well, I'll go home and do it. And the Spirit's moving at that moment. The heart has been opened and the will is ready to roll. And that's the time we take two or three more minutes and we say, okay, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. So let's pray. That's the difference between knowing and not knowing. And you can by just wisdom know that, no, I need to bring this to completion. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. We need to know that we need to have the kids respond to God. Respond to the word of God. Gotta kind of see where I'm at here with the schedule. A little confused. 10:35. Okay. No more confusion. Let's jump down to the Greek and Hebrew approach to learning. This should clear up some things if you're uncertain. And I'm going to run through it quick. The Greek model of education shapes our modern American educational theories. That's the beginning of a little bit of understanding. We've all been under that. We've all been taught this way. Greek education focuses on content. Greek education focuses on the content. The information is ultimate, total, important. The Hebrew education focuses on relationship. The Greek teacher tries to shape the student's mind, their minds. That's the goal. I want to create their mind to think a certain way. But the Hebrew teacher tries to shape students' hearts. And when I speak of Hebrew, I'm speaking not of the secular Hebrew kind of an idea, but I'm thinking of the biblical, what we read from the Bible, what took place in the days of Jesus, those that were teachers, excuse me. Greek students were to learn what their teachers knew. So isn't that what's going on today in class? Going into class to learn what my teacher knows. Hebrew students were to become what their teacher was. Today, we can't really have that a lot of the time, to become like the teacher, just because of the character of the teacher. The notion that one can merely teach the mind and body of a child without involving the heart and soul is the method of the Greeks. So we just put information into the mind and everything is fine. It doesn't affect life at all. That's why we have a problem not seeing the reality that when we don't respond, there's a real disconnect, because that's not a part of our education thinking. We've all been trained to think this way, to have things happen this way. We see no example in Scripture for the teaching of children's minds for the sake of academia. We are to bring every thought captive to Jesus Christ. The mind of Christ is what we are to model and teach. So the Greek approach focuses on the content to be transferred from the teacher's mind to that of the student. You know, I teach, like I said, a semester class at the Bible College. And my goal isn't to give all this information, although I'm giving them tons of information. My goal is for their hearts to be changed, for them to respond to the information that's going on. And I've been told by many students, this isn't really like a children's ministry class. I thought, yeah, it is, but it's like it's challenged my life. And that should be what's going on with the kids. Their lives are challenged, not to just be hearers, but to be doers. If the student could accurately repeat the information, they passed the course and they were considered to be taught. That's how it works. That's how we live. On to the next page of your notes. This approach to learning tends to lend itself more to the memorizing of information, and that facts are what are important. We see that all the time. The facts are important. Well, facts are important, but not in this sense. This is how we learn. Our modern way of thinking is very much spectator-minded, entertainment-prone, content to watch life rather than live it. Proof of it, turn the TV on. Well, proof of it is the TV. You turn it on, you watch a game. How many people are there? Lots of people are watching that game, not only on TV, but in the stadium. How many are participating? A handful compared to. We are entertainment prone, anything about entertainment, because it's all mind-oriented. You want to go climb a mountain, all you got to do is find a program that's got somebody climbing a mountain, and you're done, and you're tired, and you're sweating over it. Popcorn's gone, and you know, we live this way. And so we have the education this way, and we think that they're really being educated. This is known as the Greek form of education. Most of us, as I've said, have already covered this, have been trained by this way. Schools concentrate on literature, music, gymnastics. Listen to this. This opened my eyes to some stuff all around. Education in Athens was for the training of the individual in the service of the culture. In the service of the culture. That was the primary goal from the Greeks for education. We want them to be able to perform tasks for the culture. And the bigger and the better the task, the bigger and better the person is. That's where their identity is found. So to the Greeks, the goal of education was for the students to learn what their teacher knew. The focus was on the intellect. They focused on the content to be transferred from the teacher's minds to that of the students. So what I have in my notebook, I want to get to your notebook. That's our education system. That's what we're used to. I can teach someone to write the notes and never change. Never change. But they have new information. That's a sad form of teaching. Let's jump to the Hebrew form of Hebrew approach of learning. The goal of this form of learning is not only memorization of repeatable facts, not saying that's not important, but to live out the truth. To live the truth out in their own life. To become that bit of information that we read of. In this approach to learning, the student is encouraged to practice the truth in real life, to be a doer of the word, of the truth in real life. According to the Hebrew model, the student has not learned a thing when they repeat it to the teacher. It is learned only when it's reflected in the student's life. We got a real disconnect in our education today. Right here exposes it. If it's not reflected in the student's life, what is it? It's a bunch of head knowledge. In this approach, the testing is in the living. The question becomes not whether the student has the information correctly stored into their head, but rather how the truth has transformed the student's attitude and behavior. I have watched 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds who have committed their life to Jesus be transformed. I've watched angry little faces turn to smiles. I've watched mean little ones become kind. That's what this is talking about. It's suspect if someone says they're a follower of Jesus Christ and they hate people. It's suspect. No matter how elegant the words are, it's suspect. And it's because we've been taught this way. It's okay to think the right thing and not do the right thing. Hebrew approach of learning for the disciples to become like their teacher. Here's the difference. The focus was on the heart, their character, their life. And I want you to listen to this part again. I asked you to listen to another one a minute ago. For the ancient Hebrews, education had a much different goal than the Greek way of thinking. Education was for the training of the individual in the service of God. What was the Greeks? In the service of culture. That's a big problem. Because culture changes and people change, whoever's in authority changes, and all of a sudden we have a new purpose. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. So if we are educating our children towards the culture, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows the outcome? Because what we're doing, and I know I may be stepping on toes, but I got to step on them. We are educating the children to be little Greeks. And then they grow up and they act like little Greeks. And we go, oh, what happened? And our children will become like those who teach them. Educators are searching for models of education that produces good fruit. I have some strong, and I won't go there, beliefs on education because of these principles. I will say this. I have four children. All four of them walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. I did not bring my children up to please the culture. I brought them up to please God. And there were issues from that. Because you're going against the world system. You're going against some friends of yours, even your own sisters who are teachers, with the possible being misunderstood that you think that what they do is wrong or can't. No. I just knew that I was going to be held responsible for my children. Nobody else. And so we brought them up to please God. I told them, I don't care what you do in life, as long as you're pleasing God. And God is using them all in very wonderful ways. Our teaching can change by this understanding. And when the next time we're teaching someone, I pray that you're thinking, oh, are we moving to that place of response? Or am I just filling them full of information? Now, I'm going to back up just a speck for these last 2 minutes. Information is important. I'm not saying information is not important. Because we serve a big God. And the Holy Spirit can do whatever he wants to do. And if they don't have that information, it's even more problematic. But if they do have that information, then it's a good thing. So I'm not downplaying information. Oh, wow. Thank you. Dan brings news of good tidings. And great joy. We have a few more minutes, so open up your books again. We have at stake the next generation. And you know, it goes so fast. As I was sharing earlier, I hadn't spent a lot of time in looking at these different names and all the different generations that are there. Just didn't really grab me. But they go fast. And for those that are involved, and this is primarily us here, of teaching those zero ones to 12 or 11, you know how fast 10 plus years go? It goes so fast that we don't even realize the millennial generations passed by. The youngest millennial is 18 years old. It's already passed by 8 years. And yet I read magazine after magazine article about the millennials. Well, it's okay because we still want to minister the millennials, but they're 18 and up. We now got Generation Z. Z. I've been told it's like the millennials, but on steroids. I don't know what that's. Okay. Amen. But that's your fourth, fifth, and sixth grader. That's your preschooler now. And it doesn't surprise me, the reading that I was doing, because I went, oh, whoa. Yeah, dude, fourth grade is when they're being introduced to all the things that we were hearing about in junior high and high school. Those are the kids you're with. It's real stuff. They need Jesus. They don't need to know anything other than Jesus. They need to know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus will give them hope. He will give them direction. He will save them from their own sin. We need to bring Jesus to them, and we need to see the responding of that. Now, you can't force them to respond. I guess you could, but it wouldn't do any good. But have you ever heard of the word prayer? Seriously? If you aren't praying for the kids, you don't really love them as much as you think you do. Because the battle, the war, is being played out in the heavenlies. And these kids need Jesus. And God wants you to bring Jesus to them. You, as a follower of Jesus Christ, have no right to share anything other than what Jesus is saying. As a follower. So let's bring this home, since we have a couple more minutes. Do you respond to God? Or are you just a reader of information? Because God doesn't want just readers of information. There's enough religious people in the church today. He wants responders. He wants us childlike. A four-year-old responds to a negative or a positive, and you see it right before your very eyes. We need to search our hearts. I search my heart constantly. Lord, am I just getting full of information? Because there's seasons in my life where I have. It's just been all about information. Gaining this information, sharing this information. I've recently stepped out of, I guess you would call it, church ministry, being full-time on staff after 30 years of being full-time on staff. But I've been crying out to the Lord. I've just been saying, Lord, all I care about is being a Christian man. I don't care about any other identity. And I know my identity has been in other things. Oh, the children's ministry guy and all this stuff. So what? I want my identity in Jesus Christ. Is your identity in Jesus Christ, or is it in something else? We must be about our Father's business. We must be thinking about the Lord. We must be presenting the Lord. You know that this is the cool thing about the death of Jesus Christ. Satan thought he had won. Got him buried. Dude, they were probably starting to party. The Son of God's dead, buried, stone in front. Satan didn't realize what was coming his way. What was coming his way is when he rose, the new covenant started changing things up, and he now resides inside of those who want to follow him. So, Satan was dealing with just Jesus at one time in history. He now deals with all the believers that have taken the name of Jesus, and he resides inside them. It's a high calling. It's not just a church goer. It's not just someone that ministers to kids. But wherever you go, whatever you do, you're walking in the room representing Jesus Christ. And that's where we need to be responders. Lord, may I walk in that room truly responding to you and how you are, so that people now can see who you are, so to speak, live out what we know to be true, and not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. Let's pray. Father, I love these people here. I know you love them more. I love them because they're dedicated to your service to pass on to the next generation. On the front line, in places where often we don't go. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to use them. Whatever capacity you're using them right now, Lord, may they have the faith just as a mustard seed to increase what they're doing, whether it's their commitment, whether it's their heart, whatever it is, Lord. I pray that you do a work inside them. Such a needed ministry, such a calling, such a battle, a supernatural battle in the natural. May you open their eyes to that battle. May you open their eyes to the work that God wants to do in them. If there's anyone here that's saying, I'm just not really that cool or that good, or how could God use me? Lord, open their eyes to reality that it's you that's doing the work in them and that you just want them to be available. Don't allow them to buy into that lie that they don't have much, because we don't have nothing but you. May we understand that if we have you, we have everything. Bless these people today, Lord. Encourage their hearts. Love on them, Lord. Cause them to sense your grace and your mercy, your forgiveness. Cause them to sense your love for them. Lord, we get so caught up in these different identities that we have. May their identity be found in you. May you be it all. May you be the reason for their life, what they do, why they do. Pray that you pour out your spirit upon them. Bless them in a major, major way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.